August 27th, 9 p.m.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be views of Kirk McKenzie, and Kirk has been with us before, but he has something, always has something worthwhile saying. Now, people, hear our programs, they get very discouraged, oh my goodness, I just don't want to hear about all these bad things. But Kirk has a program, and Kirk has been a very effective leader. We saw what he did up in Siskiyou County, where he went up there, and this is an area of his several counties, and this was an area where they were certainly going to take out the dams. They were going to destroy the economy of this area, and Kirk organizing the people there was actually get people into positions of leadership and turn around the most powerful people in Washington, D.C., who wanted to destroy this this very peaceful and quiet rural community. Well, Kirk certainly is trying to teach people how to approach what's going on today. The other side has a slogan. It's called Think Globally, because they want a world government, a world tyranny, and bring everybody under their boot so they can stamp on them and crush them. But basically, think globally, but act locally. And to do accomplish what they want to because of our Constitution, they have to take over the local governments, and that's what they do. They have their people run for the water board and for the fire board and for all the various boards and for the city council, and to get their people into local government, taking our country over from the bottom up. And this is exactly what they've done. And then, of course, they get their people into Congress. But the solution is not to get people into Congress. That's fine. But what we need to do is get people into positions locally. And this can be done. And basically, Kirk is going to explain to you how he has recommended it and the program he's putting forward, which will help us, of course, get certainly the information out that we need if we hope to maintain America. Kirk, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, I'm glad to be on, and thanks for having me on.
Why don't you just go right ahead and tell our listeners who you are, what you intend, and what this program is that you have put together.
Well, I'm the founder of a movement called Defend Rural America, and I believe that this is the last bastion, kind of the last line in the sand that we have to draw, because this is the, we don't give it much attention, there's not very many people there. But the reality is this is where we get our water, we get our food, we get all of our energy, we get our steel and our concrete and our brick and our building, all our timber, minerals. And what I found out about a year ago when I went up to Siskiyou County was they are under assault. I mean, assault is the only word you can use. There are such punitive government regulations, fines, fees, lawsuits, shutdowns, closures of lands, that literally they are at a point now where I think more and more and more are just going out of business. The property values up in Siskiyou have declined 50%. And, we have a situation where some of the new regulations, like the new air quality regulations, they now ratcheted them to the point that it's shutting down coal plants and energy production. It's shutting down farmers who are being made criminals because dust blows on their lands or straw blows off the hay bales, and they're shutting down beaches because of it, because dune buggies toss up sand behind their wheels. I mean, it really is an assault, and we have to really understand the implications.
And of course, they were going to tear down all the dams. There were three dams there, of course, tearing them out. There wouldn't be any water for the farmers. Tear them out, there wouldn't be any hydroelectricity. To tear them out, of course, you'd change the whole structure of society, and that's what they want to do. They want to destroy it. Kirk, you go right ahead.
Yeah, the up in Siskiyou, I mean, the imminent issue was the decision by Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, which was pending, to go ahead and destroy four hydroelectric power dams that provide electricity to 60,000 people. And that's only one of many assaults. But, you know, we take these things for granted. And I've kind of learned, you know, if you take out a dam, you take out a reservoir. And these reservoirs were built for a reason, because if you don't have a body of water to rely on, the water flows to the ocean. In summertime, your rivers go dry. You have drought. And in the rainy seasons, you have floods. And if you take out all those reservoirs, we no longer have that kind of storage capacity. And here in California, where we've gone through drought years, it's the reservoirs that keep people alive. It's the reservoirs that keep the agriculture working. And if you destroy those reservoirs, I'm telling you, you're going after food production. You're going after water for our essentials. You're going after everything. And hydropower, I always took for granted. I gave no thought to it. But it turns out there's no combustion. It's the cleanest energy source there is. I mean, you basically have water going through, you know, some rotor that turns a generator and then flows right out again. There's no destruction. The water isn't destroyed. There's no combustion. There's no carbon. It's completely sustainable, completely renewable, and yet they're blowing up dams. And they've blown up over 1,000 nationwide with a target over 20,000.
And basically, because people don't understand, is that basically you get your electricity for a penny a kilowatt. I mean, it's almost free electricity. And that's what they want to destroy. They want to raise the price of electricity. They want to raise the price of water and everything else. They want to destroy this country. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on makes sense. But there really is a program. Has it really 1,000 dams they've taken out?
Yeah, there's over 1,000. And there's something else that you're correct. It's absolutely cheap. I mean, solar and wind power are somewhere about 10 to 20 times more expensive. And furthermore, the hydropower is reliable because that water shooshes on through and, you know, you're basically able to generate electricity at a steady rate. The way the national grid works, and I'm an electrical engineer, the way the national grid works is that, you know, the electricity generated is immediately consumed. You cannot have excess of generation or you cannot have too little generation. You have to match the demand. If you don't, then the frequency of the signal and the voltage begin to vary, and that causes havoc. I mean, absolute havoc. Not only does it screw up your clocks and your equipment, but huge industrial motors and all the rest, you can have actual damage to factories and so forth. So it's really critical.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kirkus will be saying that they've taken about 1,000 dams out now. They're working to take out more dams. Why? Because this will cripple our economy, suddenly. And, of course, you've got to, you can't have electricity coming from certainly solar and wind. I mean, you've got to be able to have a regular, steady supply of electricity. But they don't want that. They don't want us to generate electricity from burning natural gas or coal because of global warming. They don't want us to have hydroelectric power. They want to get rid of the dams. They don't want us to have nuclear power. They don't want us to have electricity at all. They want to deindustrialize Western civilization. And people say that is crazy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is crazy, but it's what's going on today. It's a process known as creative destruction. Go up on the internet and look up the term creative destruction, or better still, go to your Google and type in YouTube Alan Greenspan creative destruction. YouTube Alan Greenspan creative destruction. Alan will explain it to you. Basically, he tells you that the real force behind everything going on today is globalism. That's really bring about a world government. He doesn't tell you that, but that's what our leaders are dedicated to. And so basically, of course, if you're going to create this new global society, you have to destroy the old one. So they're in the process of destroying the old society so they can create the new society. Listen to what Alan Greenspan tells you. He tells you exactly what creative destruction is all about, and you're witnessing it today, and not one person in 1,000 has any idea what's going on. Go right ahead, Kirk.
So I'll finish up on these dams because this is an illustration. I mean, there's all kinds of problems. Let me just finish this one. So the the system has to be able to respond. Now, it turns out with nuclear energy, you take days to weeks to get it from 0 to 100%. I mean, it takes a long time to ramp up. Coal takes probably hours to days to be able to ramp up. And hydropower can actually go from 0 to 100% output in 10 minutes. And furthermore, because of the nature of the way the generators are made, they rotated at a much slower speed, and therefore they're much robust. They're very durable and reliable. The ones up in the dams up there are almost 100 years old and going just fine. Compare that to solar and wind, where, you know, the cloud goes overhead and the electricity drops or the wind drops. They're very unstable energy sources. You know, you'll have a surge of energy followed by no energy. And the dam operators consider them to be parasitic, because what they're trying to do is to take and shut down the reliable energy coming out of dams to try and match these gross fluctuations in solar and the windmills, because they're bouncing all over the place. And so here we are shutting down the cheap energy source in order to make way for this very expensive energy source, which was completely unreliable. It's absolutely changing the nature of our entire power system and grid, and certainly the economics of this. They're shutting down to use endangered species to shut down the North Strip in Arizona, called the Arizona Strip, and that's where 40% of our uranium supplies are. They're shutting that down. They're now, you know, declaring some lizard and some grass to be, quote, endangered. Therefore, across Oklahoma and Texas, they're going after oil wells up in the Bakken oil fields up in North Dakota, where we've discovered more oil than in Saudi Arabia exists right up there. And guess what? They're going to list the buffalo. That's what they want to do now, is lift the buffalo and return it to open range and let the buffalo run all over the range, which means the destruction of farms, ranches, communities, and, oh, by the way, you can't access that oil. And so all of our energy supplies are being attacked. Our water is under attack. The implications when you destroy dams and you get rid of reservoirs is the greatest invention that man ever had, which we forget about, we just take for granted, is this whole idea of distribution of water through irrigation. You know, nature provides water that shoots down through a river and goes to the ocean with very little spread, and therefore life hugs the rivers, as it used to do in biblical times. And the discovery of irrigation, where you took the water and spread it out across the land, actually meant you spread life out across the land. You spread animal life, you spread human life, you spread out plant life. And so we've actually through the management of people that we create a Garden of Eden. And in our search for food, we've actually increased the animal and plant population as well. But they're shutting down all of that, which means they're going to be shutting down irrigation and the ranching, farming, and so forth, food production that goes with it. It is, if this is allowed to continue to occur, our nation is going to be completely dependent on even its food from probably communist China, you know, from foreign sources. And we're going to be further in debt to the point that, you know, we're literally, as this debt continues to be piled up, we're just slaves. I mean, it's a form of bondage. You can never get out of this debt. And therefore, us and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are all going to be born with these massive amounts of debt. And here we are, one of the countries with the greatest resources in the world. That's all being shut down at the very time we have all this low-cost labor in China and every place else coming on board. They're building dams like crazy. So it is really a crisis, and if we lose that, we lose our sovereignty, we lose our security, and we literally are going to become bonded servants to the debt holders.
I certainly agree with you, Kirk, but the thing is, the average individual finds it so difficult to believe that they really want to suddenly destroy our dams, they really want to cut off our access to nuclear power, they really want us to stop generating electricity using fossil fuels, and they know that there's no way you can run an industrialized society on wind and solar power.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's difficult for people to understand, and that's really why they're winning. It's just simply because we've been a nation primarily of Christians, and they can't comprehend that there's people like this. Even though the Bible talks about evil people and evil, you know, we can't quite recognize that it actually exists and walks amongst us. And as a result, they continue to get away with it. And I think that it's unfortunate, because in order to regain our freedom and our liberty and our free will, we're going to have to give up some of our naivete. but what you say is absolutely true. And if the audience, those people in the audience that can't quite grasp this, may I encourage you to have an open mind. You know, if you were just looking at one instance, one dam here or somebody's property being shut down there, fine. But this is happening absolutely nationwide. And these same regulations that are being imposed up in Siskiyou County are being imposed in Colorado and New Mexico, and they're killing pigs up in Wisconsin because the right kind of, the wrong kind of pigs. You know, all of a sudden you have farmers and ranchers that are criminals for basically farming and ranching. I mean, once you begin to put the pieces together and you look at all the massive immigration in this country, you look at all this debt that we're incurring, you look at all the money that we're creating through a Federal Reserve System and giving it to foreign countries, you begin to realize that it is true. They have a different vision of the future of mankind, and it is not based upon the idea of free will.
And basically, people have to understand there's a small group that really runs everything, and they control the media, and they control certainly, the banks and corporations, and they control both political parties. They have their people placed in education, the great foundation, even in our churches. And because of that, most people have very little understanding of what's going on. Well, Kirk, tell our listeners about the program that you are suggesting so we can begin to take America back, and how people out there in the listening audience can get involved with this program you're putting forward.
Well, they can go to the website, which is defendruralamerica.com. So www.defendruralamerica.com. And there it's laid out pretty simple. It's like a book. There's a page for each topic. And if you're not used to these topics like I was not a year ago, I think it'll be a real eye-opener. And what I have done was based upon 25 years of research and 3 years of building this website and the materials that go on that, is brought together philosophy, our values, strategies, political perspectives, tactics, plans, information, education, all the totality needed to actually create a movement. And you go there and you'll find all the information and ideas that you need to be able to do this. The essence of this is I believe that the focus has to be on the rural communities, particularly the rural counties. And in those rural counties, we have to build sustainable, strong coalitions of individuals and organizations working together. And what I mean by this is the ranchers are going to have to respect and work to fight for the rights of the miners, and the miners are going to have to work to fight, support the rights of the timbermen, and the, you know, people who live in the city parks, they're going to have to support them all. If we're going to have to go back to the roots where this country was founded, where we had neighbors working together and working together cohesively, build these coalitions, and then those coalitions have to become really educated and understand. I think the Tea Party type people have to learn and understand what's going on the farms and the agriculture with respect to water, land, mineral, timber kind of rights. At the same time, I think that the ranchers, farmers, and so forth are going to begin to become aware through some of the education that, hey, the problem they're fighting is a much more global picture than what they may realize. And so you get a coalition together in each of these counties. You get them a good, solid foundation of education and constitutional training. I think we have to go back to the Constitution, and we have to rediscover every single power that's been given to us through that Constitution in terms of how do you peacefully restore a country to its original premise and roots. And then you have to get them to be active in terms of getting constitutional sheriffs and constitutional county commissioners and constitutional, you know, district attorneys and so forth. And then those counties you have to replicate across a bunch of counties and get all of them communicating and working together so that when you do decide to make a move, you can have 50 counties doing it simultaneously. And then you want that to spread across the rural states.
And I think people
have about 2/3 of Senate seats.
You have to understand there's only maybe 1% or even less that want this authoritarian dictatorship. Most people want to be free, but then most people in Russia and China and throughout the world want to be free. We were free here because we had a constitution that limited the power of the government. of the traitors, the treasonous people have gotten in and progressively eroded our Constitution. They put their people into the courts. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they get people even onto the Supreme Court. Want to destroy America and the freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution. Go right ahead, Kirk.
So it's a process of getting into these counties and building these coalitions, giving them the training, constitutional stature, and basically expose them to the problems to the point that they really get it, and they're prepared to stand up and fight. You know, fight back. And I'm not talking about guns. I'm talking about, you know, through all the legal means that we have or constitutional means that we have, and do this in a whole lot of counties and get these counties working in cooperative fashion. Now, this whole Defend Rural America project started, was launched on October 22nd of last year in Yreka. That's the city in Northern California in Siskiyou County. We had, because of the planning and the way it was, we had eight sheriffs on a panel that I had, eight constitutional sheriffs stood up. And we also had a presentation I made, a documentary film that I had made was premiered up there on the problems of Siskiyou County. And, you know, that's kind of gone viral across the Internet. And we built a base of organizations working together that spread across 15 counties in Northern California and Southern Oregon. And the effort to continue to awaken the public, connect them to the information, connect them to each other, has continued up there. And now what I'm doing is I'm bringing this whole program further south to the rural communities in California, down the through the Gold Country, down through San Joaquin Valley, and over to some of the coastal counties. And so within the next few weeks, we're going to have five more of these events. We typically get 1,000 people at an event. And by the time we're done with an event, we have a coalition built, and we have a very energetic county to the point that, you know, the people begin to reassert their rights. And so by the end of the year, I anticipate having somewhere around 35 counties in California that are going to be on this program. We have 58 counties total. Throwing out L.A. and some other counties that I think we'll never succeed in, we have 48 counties that I'm targeting, and I think we'll be at 35 of them out of the 48, and we'll close on the remaining by the end of the first quarter or maybe second quarter of next year. In the meantime, we're going to spread this out through more of the western states and then ultimately nationally.
Now, basically, of course, you're getting then people locally who are willing to take up positions of leadership and get the thing organized, because you can't do this all by yourself.
Yeah, Defend Rural America is not an organization, intentionally not. It is a set of ideas. It's a set of strategies. It's a program. It's a movement that the organizations voluntarily decide on the merits of this program, whether they support it or not. There's nobody dictating to these organizations and nobody telling them what to do. But if they decide to embrace this program, those that do come together are discovering that it works, and it works extremely well. And so that's why this movement is beginning to take on some steam.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, what we need is for people to learn how to organize their local community. Remember that slogan. Think globally, but act locally, and get involved and set up meetings regularly and locally. Find the people willing to take positions of leadership. Try to get them, those who run for local office. And the school board is important. The water board is important. The commissions having to do with the police are important. All of these are important positions. We've got to begin to organize our local communities and take them back, because believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the other side are organized. They've been working at this for a long time. They usually have the control of the local newspaper, so you're going to have to find alternative means. But fortunately, we do have the Internet. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kirk is simply laying out a plan. It's called Defend Rural America, and basically it's not an organization. It's a plan for you to be able to take back your local community, and Kirk is going to help organize certainly counties all across America. But you need to get in touch with him. You need to help him. Our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You have a question or comment, but certainly the other side is very well organized. They have their people on all the boards locally. They certainly have their people. The ones that are always quoted in the newspapers, because they've taken over the local newspapers, or their friends, or wealthy friends, have taken over the local newspapers so they can control what the American people think. But we have the alternative we've never had before. We have the internet, and certainly we have other means of reaching people with flyers and certainly with telephone trees. But you have to be involved out there. You can't sit back and say, well, somebody else will do it. I mean, basically, we've seen what happened up in Siskiyou County, where a lot of people came together and really began to organize that area. And they've effectively blocked, at least temporarily, the effort to take out the dams, haven't they, Kirk?
They have. That determination was supposed to have made the deadline for Salazar was February, and that day came and went. In fact, he was going to make the determination in November last year, you know, just three or four weeks after the event. Well, that's that event stopped that. And then he was going to make the determination in January. Well, that day came and went. And then by February, we actually had the news about, you know, once Siskiyou County story, which nobody knew about, all of a sudden was traveling through, you know, some of the active communication channels nationwide, it actually reached one of the scientists within the department itself, who was responsible for scientific integrity, and he blew the whistle on the fact that the science was being falsified to justify Salazar's predetermined outcome. You know, they were trying to give it the appearance of scientific and public support when it was actually fraudulent. And so that came out, and so all this cumulative results that came out of this thing, no determination to blow up the dam so far.
And basically, of course, what you need is a sheriff who believes in the Constitution. You've got to get responsible sheriffs and people into law enforcement. And, of course, we're going to have real problems because, of course, the local communities are going to start running out of money. We've got to be able to keep our tax money locally rather than having it all go to the state to pay the pensions for all the state employees, some of them making $100,000 or $200,000 a year in retirement. I mean, just unbelievable. Certainly, the people who are running our universities making $300,000 or $400,000 a year, and that's from the state. That's our tax money going to pay for it. What we've got to do is keep our money locally, and we've got to get involved and prevent them from taking the money and then, oh, well, they're going to give us back money. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our money. The government doesn't have any money other than what it takes from us by force. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Kirk. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY here in the Central Coast of California. 464-8295. And Kirk has done a wonderful job up there in Siskiyou. And of course, he can do a great job in the other counties here across California. But you have to be involved. You can't just sit back and say, oh, well, it's going to take care of itself. Ladies and gentlemen, we've run out of time. The other side's organized. The other side's controlling the communities. The other side is intent upon destroying property rights, destroying our freedom, and certainly destroying our dams, deindustrializing America, changing the whole structure of society, taking it back the way it was simply in the 17th and 18th century. And you say that's crazy talk. Who in their right mind would want to do that? And ladies and gentlemen, nobody in their right mind. But there really are people who have a different vision of the world. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, our guest, Kirk McKenzie. Kirk, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way is to go to the website, defendruleamerica.com, and you'll see my photograph in the top left corner, and below that are four little icons, and one of them is an envelope. If you click that, it'll actually start an email to me. Or alternatively, you could just type in Kirk, K-I-R-K, at defendruleamerica.com, and that'll get to me.
Kirk at defendruralamerica.com. Kirk at defendruralamerica.com. We've known Kirk for some time. He's doing a great job, but he needs your help. So, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you have any question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. They want to be able to send in the federal agents to harass the people, harass the farmers, the lumber people. But, ladies and gentlemen, they don't have the right to. These people are guilty of treason, violating the Constitution, and if we have a sheriff, a constitutional sheriff, will stand up to them. Kirks, what sort of response have you gotten from the other programs we've done? Have there been some people who have actually agreed to help join with you?
Well, actually, you remember the fellow that called in from Colorado?
Right, right.
We've had an ongoing dialogue, and we're definitely going to be doing something together.
Okay, fine. And, Chris, there are a lot of good people there in Colorado. They just need the leadership. And this is the real problem we have, is most people don't know how to organize these things.
Organizing is, you know, a lot of people call me up and they want the formula. They don't necessarily want me, they just want the formula. And it turns out, I've learned over time, you know, I could tell people the formula, they go out and try it and fail. It really gets down to personalities, knowing how to deal with people, knowing how to handle the situations, the ability to have the credibility, bring in big speakers. I mean, there's a lot that goes with it, and so I try when I can, is available to work with groups, so I can do it even remotely and walk them through a process that'll help them to get organized. And I'm doing these five events I'm doing simultaneously. I got five of them going. We'll have 5,000 people at these events. And these teams are doing, under my with my advice and consultation, they're pulling it all together and doing all the work. And when this whole thing's done, those organizations are going to be bigger and stronger and more effective than ever. And I move on to someplace else. Defend Rural America has no organization. It is completely dependent upon whether or not people get it. And if they do, I help them to make it work.
And that's the important thing. Basically, we don't need more organizations. We need local organizations made up of local people. You have a big organization, they're going to take that over and utilize that, and suddenly everybody will be working, spinning their wheels, and of course accomplishing nothing. I've been around long enough. I've been here for 50 years. I've seen how they work these things. And when you have somebody, a good individual, running for political office, they'll get somebody who comes and wants to help them. And boy, that guy's the most loyal person you ever saw. And the only trouble is they're really undercutting them at every turn to make sure that they're not effective. This is the technique that is used to neutralize. I believe this is what they did with Ron Paul very effectively. And we're going to be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Kirk McKenzie. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if anything is going to get accomplished, it's going to have to be you out there and the listening audience across California, across America. And suddenly getting started and getting a group of people together locally and learning how to begin to organize. The other side is very well organized. There are not very many of them. But, of course, they have tremendous financial backing because the richest people in the world are behind this effort to create a fascist America. And when you understand that, it all begins to make sense. But what they're really in the process of doing is creative destruction. I want you to remember that phrase. Creative destruction, because it means they want to create this new globalist system, this new globalist society, but to do it they have to destroy the old one. And they're in the process of doing it, as we suggested earlier. Go get onto the Google, onto your internet, Google, or YouTube, Alan Greenspan, Creative Destruction. YouTube, Alan Greenspan, Creative Destruction. If they haven't pulled it down, of course, you'll hear Alan Greenspan explaining what creative destruction is really all about. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And give us a call if you have a question, a comment, if you understand why it's important to think globally, but to act locally. If you value your freedom, you must be involved. Well, Kirk, well, once again, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website and get in touch with you and get more information on how to set up an organization locally. But they have to do it.
Well, they go to www.defendruralamerica.com, take a look around, and then when you're ready, go ahead and email me at Kirk, K-I-R-K, at defendruralamerica.com. And I'd like to take one moment to your listeners, you know, as I listen to you, Dr. Stan, I hope your audience understands, because I certainly understand after studying the world, everything that you're telling them is absolutely true. It is wise advice, even the down to the details like how they get in and destroy organizations. There's a reason Defend Rural America is not a big vertical organization. You get in the committees, you get in the boards. I was the California state chair for the Ross Perot United We Stand America organization nearly 20 years ago, and I can tell you I know exactly how it works. And a few people can be extremely disruptive in a volunteer organization. I have no committee. I have no board to report to. I have no decision-making lag time. I make decisions and I go, and it works. But, you know, your advice is right on the money, this whole idea, think globally, act locally, right on the money. I just want your audience to know I'm behind you 100% in everything you've said. When I studied this world, and you look at why aren't more people waking up, I found this quote from J. Edgar Hoover that was published in the Elks magazine in August of 1956. Now, Hoover was the nation's first FBI director, a position he held for 37 years, from 1935 to 1972. He was there at a very critical point in time of our history. And here is the quote. The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. He was right on the money. This is a man who knew all the secrets of this country for 37 years. You can't just blow this guy's comments and quote away. It is absolutely the truth. And this is probably the greatest thing that inhibits the ability to regain our freedoms is the inability of the people to realize that the truth of the world is so far from what you have been told it is that it's hard to grasp.
Amen to that.
Grasp it, you must.
Well, let's go to Bruce's calling from Spokane. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, it's 464-8295. Hi, Bruce from Spokane. How are we doing?
I'm doing fine. I comment with Mr. McKenzie. He stated that there's several people that finally woke up, and there's a man that spoke right here near Spokane here several months ago. His name's John Martinez. Ask Mr. McKenzie if he recalls a man named John Martinez.
You know, it sounds familiar to me, but I don't recall the incident.
Well, he worked in the same area, the Siskiyous, just there south of the Oregon border, and they had a different perspective. They, you know, everything starts to dovetail in when other people start talking about the same issues. He worked his angle. At least he was involved from the point of the Indian reservations there. And how, I don't know if it was Ickley or whoever it was finally able to come in there to the, and spoke to the Indians and was able to, clear off the land of any, they called it the white man intrusion. And they did so, shut down all the mining, threw off people, started clearing out, populations there. And, at the same time, they were being lied to like the fork-tongued devils that they were, and they started seizing assets and property of the Indian nation there. And I don't remember if it was Siskiyou tribe or what the tribe was, but Mr. Martinez was there with another tribal member. and he spoke how they diverted federal funds to the Indian tribes to drug manufacturing processes. So
well,
there they
there
were,
is,
cleared
there's
the
several
forest
tribes in that area, but the one that's believed to be doing a lot of that is actually the Crook Indian tribe, and it turns out the tribal
that's
members aren't the problem. It's the leaders that have grabbed hold of the Indian Tribal Council, of which one of them that's the leading cause of this isn't even a Native American Indian by any shot. Most of them are only 1/32nd, you know, Native American blood. I mean, it's not like think of the being that way, but the one that's actually causing the problem is not Indian at all.
And basically, of course, what they were doing was trying to play one Indian group against the other and get one to support the government programs and to undercut the other legitimate Indian programs. Wasn't that pretty well what was going on, Kirk?
Yes, it was. The Shasta Nation is actually very cued into all this stuff, and they're trying to save those dams as well and their historical rights to the lands that they own. The Crook tribe is trying to basically, they're, quote, a stakeholder in this destroy the dam deal, and their take, if they get that through, is they get $80 million, if I remember correctly, and control of the lands that they're not native on. They are actually lands that belong to the Shasta Nation, Shasta tribes. And so it is. They play them off. And originally I used to think this was a local story, but as I've looked across the nation, I'm realizing that this isn't one off. I mean, this is a pattern here. It's going on in Montana right now. They're trying to take the senior water rights away from people who have them since the 1850s in western Montana. I think what's happening is exactly the same what happened in gambling. The people who control gambling went out to these tribes. It wasn't like the tribes came up with the idea of having gambling on their reservations. Somebody went out there and reached out to all these people and grabbed a few of the leaders and said, you can make a bunch of money if you come along with the program, and we'll do all the work. We'll bring in the casinos. We'll bring in our equipment. We'll bring in our dealers, and you guys will make a bunch of money. And I think that what's happening now is the same thing. I think this is a centrally controlled effort. There is a bunch of smart attorneys that have figured this some scheme out, and they're now spreading that out to tribes across the country and using them and abusing them, frankly, because the tribes ultimately don't come out any better. They come off worse as well.
Well, okay, you, Bruce, is that, I think you
well,
appreciate
the yes, I just think it would be, you know, beneficial to hear that other side from the man that spoke. He did jog my memory of the two tribes, and that's what the men, you know, both of the men spoke about, was those two tribes, the Kakooks and the Shasta Indians. And you're right. It's quite similar to what we have right here in the same area here is tribal gambling that is, I mean, our current governor got $500,000 instantly from the tribes if they had expanded gambling. So it's all over. I mean, it's throughout. We're infected like you can't believe.
I know. Well, basically, of course, the Indians, of course, are being victimized in this. Certainly, they're being told they're going to do very well financially, but in the end, they'll be crushed again. But, of course, that's when they certainly are willing to betray their fellow Indians and their fellow Americans. Why, basically, I don't have too much sympathy for them. Anyway,
well, it's the same with us, of course. We're always lied to, and we always buy, you know, people, weak-minded people buy a lie, and they sacrifice themselves and their children.
You're absolutely
right. It's never changed.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Bruce.
You
bet. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And yes, I remember this fellow, John Martinez. I remember hearing about him in the past and how he was up there, of course, playing one Indian group against another. And this is what they'll do, ladies and gentlemen. They'll play one conservative group against one another, one religious group against one another, one certainly a class of people against one another. This is how they divide and conquer. But in the end, of course, they're the only ones who benefit. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Oh, now, Kirk, what are the five counties here in California where you're going to be having these major meetings soon, and how can people get involved with that?
Well, you can find the information on the website. The first one's going to be this September 27th in Clovis, California, near Fresno. So that's Fresno County and the surrounding counties. And then the next one is going to be November 13th in San Luis Obispo County. And then there's going to be one October 20th, and that's going to be in San Joaquin County. And then the next Saturday, on October 27th, it will be in Stanislaus County. And then the next weekend, on November 3rd, there's going to be one up in Amador County. So that covers a great amount of California here.
Well, now, how about the sheriffs in these counties? Are a lot of these sheriffs a real constitutional sheriffs? Are they more or less going right along with this totalitarian fascist movement?
I think it's a mix. And what's interesting to me is to kind of come to the realization that where you have, like Northern California, you have mountains, forests, dams, and so forth, they seem to be much more constitutional sheriffs than they are in the flatlands. But there's a mix. And where we have good, strong sheriffs, I'm actually now using sheriffs from these counties rather than, I'm still having the support of the northern sheriffs, and they're coming down to attend these panels, but the new panels are going to be more broader interest. So we're going to have on a panel not only a sheriff, but we're going to have people talking about ranching and farming and, you know, water and energy and forests and so forth. To begin to wake up the audience to the problems that exist within their own counties. But counties.
Are these all-day conferences? How is it just an evening conference? What are they?
They run about 3.5 hours each. And there's going to be a panel of experts, usually 6 to 10. And they will be presenting and talking about some of the problems. And then I'll be giving an hour presentation on some of the solutions and ideas in the Federal America Project. And then we're going to end with each meeting with very specific action plans and follow-up meetings and dates and venues where people can come, participate, become active, get educated, and become part of the solution.
And if somebody would like to suddenly put on a meeting in their county, whether it be California or some other county, they would just get in touch with you at your website?
Yes, that's just the way the process starts, and, you know, fill me in on what's going on there. I think the Think Global, Act Local is exactly the right formula, because I look at the local situation, and many of them who are the victims see them as local situations only. And I look, and if it's basically a dispute between a couple agricultural communities like we have here in California, that's kind of between those communities. That's not what I'm looking at. But where it gets to be farmlands and timber and so forth being shut down by hostile government actions and impossible regulations and so forth, that's the bigger picture. So we get involved in these situations where individuals usually are fighting these problems, but we realize they're problems that are universal across this nation. They're strategic, and so that's where we get this think global, act local kind of context to it. And it turns out these counties are just chock full of people. They're victims. And, you know, they don't realize that there's a national agenda going on here. They just think it's, you know, a problem they're fighting. And it's very interesting because, you know, my message to Tea Party peoples has been, for those who understand Agenda 21, hey, look, your next step here isn't to, fine, go ahead and educate more people. But the reality is that the way you have to fight this is you now have to become an expert to understand government agencies and the Endangered Species Act and the National Environmental Policy Act and water rights and monuments and wetlands, because this is really where the fight is being fought in rural communities. And you have to reach out and start talking to the cattlemen and cattlewomen, granges, farm bureaus, you know, people who work in the forestry and timber industry, and what we're having, they have thoroughly embraced this. They got it. And they're reaching out, and these farmers are kind of like, well, why are you offering to help me? You know, it's like recovering the way this country used to work, but, you know, rural communities and people in rural communities all kind of knew each other, worked together. We're bringing them all back together again and building these coalitions around the actual local problems that reflect the global issues.
And I think that's so vitally important that people have to be involved. Remember, the other side has got their people on the city council. They've got them on the county board of supervisors. They've got their people on the various committees. We have to do the same. The other side doesn't have that many people, but they're very well organized and certainly and very well financed. We can do the same thing because we have so many more people. Most people want to be free. And these other people want to take away our freedom. And that is why they're involved in local government, so they can control us and so they can literally circumvent our Constitution, which guarantees us freedom. And people have to understand, freedom once lost will never be regained. And if you're not involved in trying to solve the problem, then you become part of the problem. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Kirk, are you getting a good response in these counties so far?
Yes, I mean, the counties, the newer ones that I'm working on now, I mean, they're absolutely mobilizing, and they are on board. And now we're going to have these events, and they are moving and doing all the preparations. They're doing a phenomenal job. And we're going to have some really striking events out here, and I hope people that are in California plan to attend one or more of those. I wanted to say one thing to your caller from Washington. There's an ex-football player by the name of Clint Didier up in Washington. And he's exposed the fact that if they're trying to get a 300-foot setback on any water that's on a farm, which means your ditches, irrigation ditches. They don't want either cattle to get within 300 feet, or they don't want your crops to get within 300 feet. But if you actually look at what that means, that's an area, you know, the length of a football field away. It turns out that he's calculated that 60% of the agricultural land in Washington State will vanish.
But that's exactly what they want, because they want to destroy our farms. They want to destroy our farmers. They want to destroy, certainly, the economy of this nation. They want to deindustrialize our society. And when you understand that, it all makes sense. If you're looking for logic, there it is. How do you destroy what was once a great and noble nation? Well, Cindy, we've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Kirk, what thoughts would you like to leave? It looks to me like we've got another caller here, but why don't you just go ahead and give some of your thoughts for our listeners?
Well, my main thought is that the people, you know, we have such a small portion of our population that is actually managing these lands, but the value of these lands is immeasurable for us. I mean, we are a prosperous nation largely because we have such tremendous natural resources. I mean, we have abundant oil, we have abundant propane, we have abundant water, you know, we have forest and timber and all this kind of thing. And really, it's disappearing. It's being shut down and closed off to human beings. They're even closing off the some of the best parks now. They're shutting down 500 roads up here by Tahoe Lake. And people don't realize that. So even the people that like the outdoors, hikers and campers and, you know, so forth, they're being shut out. So I think it's really important, unless you happen to be a farmer or rancher, you probably don't have a firsthand understanding of what's going on. It really needs to get on board and study this issue. Go to the Defend Rural America website, come to an event. Your eyes will be open, and I think you're going to realize, as I have, the profound change that's going to happen to our country if we lose and allow them to basically separate us from our natural resources and become dependent on foreign resources for everything.
I certainly agree with you, and I think it's so vitally important that people begin to realize that they're going to have to get involved. Freedom is not free, and if you're not involved, why, then you become part of the problem. And people don't understand that there really are people who intend certainly to take away our freedom, as Winston Churchill had said so well. Still, if you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all odds against you and only a perilous chance for survival, or there may even be a worst case. You may come to a moment when you'll have to fight when there is no hope for victory, for it would be better to perish than to live as slaves. And I really hope that you use that as a challenge to all of our listeners. Get involved, ladies and gentlemen. Get involved and help us to get the information and the truth out across America. Kirk, I want to thank you so much, and anything comes up, I want you to get in touch with us so we can help you get the information out to as many people as possible.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. I appreciate it.
Well, you're doing a great job, and please keep us advised, will you? Okay, are you there? Okay, well, we lost him. We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed our interview with Kirk McKenzie. And if you have a question for him, certainly go to defendruralamerica.com and get the information and get involved. For as Winston Churchill had said so well so many years ago, still, if you will not fight for the right, when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight for the right, when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may one day come to the moment when you will have to fight with a very little chance of survival, or there may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope for victory, for it would be better to perish than to live as slaves. And ladies and gentlemen, we are involved in a struggle and a fight right now for the survival of Western civilization. What are you doing? Do you think that you're going to be able to maintain your freedom? There's a group of people out there, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're traitors, they're subversives, they're working at the highest levels of our government. They have their people planted in the military, in the banking system, in our corporations. They control the leadership of both political parties, and there's not a dime's worth of difference between Romney and Obama. They have their people in the educational system, in our churches. They have them in our great tax exempt foundations, and they control the media. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. And then you need to help us get the information out across America. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know what's going on financially, you need to get my talk on the financial tsunami and the one on the financial Armageddon. Now, these talks were given some time ago, but they come with syllabuses, and it has the information that you will need to understand what's going on. You need to get the little book. It's easy reading, inexpensive. Fiat Money Inflation in France. Fiat Money Inflation in France. I read that book almost 50 years ago. And, of course, it changed my thinking at the time. You need, of course, to get Ed Griffin's wonderful book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island, because it goes into the background of the Federal Reserve System, which is not federal. It's controlled by the Brotherhood of Darkness. They control our monetary system, and they intend to certainly destroy it and then to impoverish our people. Why? Because out of the chaos is going to come the demand for an all-powerful world government. What are you going to do? You can sit back and do nothing, and then, of course, just watch freedom disappear and realize that all those boys who fought and bled and suffered and died for freedom fought for absolutely nothing because the people at home really didn't care. Or you can get involved today and help us in this epic struggle for the survival of Christian civilization and the souls of men, because behind this are powerful spiritual forces, and until you understand that, nothing really makes sense today. You need to get some of our four CD sets. You want to know how they killed Martin Luther King? It wasn't Saran. It wasn't the gentleman who was sent to James Earl Ray. He didn't kill Martin Luther King. He went to prison. They knew he was innocent. And then, of course, you want to know how they killed Bobby Kennedy. He wasn't killed by Saran. Saran, we have a book. On Bobby Kennedy, Who Killed Bobby. We have two DVDs on that, or one DVD on that. It's a British DVD, and then we have a four CD set on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. We have a four CD set on Deadly Assassins, where I interview a couple of CIA assassins. Incidentally, both are dead today. And, of course, the man who tracked down the gentleman who was paid to kill General George Patton, and we carry the book Target Patton. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they kill our leaders. They kill them if they don't go along with the agenda, just like they killed John Fitzgerald Kennedy. We have a DVD on Kennedy's death. We have certainly two or four CD sets. We have a book on Kennedy's death, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. And then, of course, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 24 hours a day there on archives. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Don't be late.
No.